Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10. Prahlad, the best amongst exalted devotees. This is a chapter summary. This chapter describes how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narasimha Dev, disappeared after pleasing Prahlad Maharaj. It also describes a benediction given by Lord Shiva. Lord Narasimhadev wanted to bestow benedictions upon Prahlad Maharaj, one after another. But Prahlad Maharaj, thinking them impediments on the path of spiritual progress, did not accept any of them. Instead, he fully surrendered at the Lord's lotus feet. He said, if anyone engaged in devotional service to the Lord, prays for some personal sense gratification, he cannot be called a pure devotee or even a devotee. He may be called only a merchant, engaged in the business of give and take. Similarly, a master who wants to please his servant after taking service from him is also not a real master. Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, did not ask anything from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, he said that if the Lord wanted to give him a benediction, he wanted the Lord to assure him that he would never be induced to take any benediction for the sake of material desires. Exchanges of devotional service for lusty desires are always very prominent. As soon as lusty desires awaken, one's senses, mind, life, soul, religious principles, patience, intelligence, shyness, beauty, strength, memory, and truthfulness are all vanquished. So can anyone repeat what gets vanquished? There's nothing left. One can render unalloyed devotional service only when there are no material desires in the mind. Supreme Personality of Godhead was greatly pleased with Prahlad Maharaj for his unalloyed devotion. Yet the Lord provided him one material benediction. He would be perfectly happy in the world and live his next life in Vaikuntha. The Lord gave him the benedictions that he would be the king of this material world till the end of the Manvantara millennium, and that although in this material world he would have the facility to hear the glories of the Lord and depend fully on the Lord, performing service to him in uncontaminated bhakti yoga. The Lord advised Prahlad to perform sacrifices through bhakti yoga, for this is the duty of a king. Prahlad Maharaj accepted whatever the Lord had offered him, and he prayed to the Lord to deliver his father. In response to this prayer, the Lord assured him that in the family of such a pure devotee as he, not only is the devotee's father, but his forefathers for 21 generations are liberated. The Lord also asked Prahlad to perform the ritualistic ceremonies appropriate after his father's death. When Lord Brahma, who was also present, offered many prayers to the Lord, expressing his obligation to the Lord for having offered benedictions to Prahlad Maharaj, the Lord advised Brahma not to offer benedictions to Asuras as he had to Hiranyakashipu, for such benedictions indulged them. Then Lord Narasimhadev disappeared. On that day, Prahlad Maharaj was installed on the throne of the world by Lord Brahma and Shukracharya. Thus, Narada Muni described the character of Prahlad Maharaj for Yudhisthira Maharaj, and he further described the killing of Ravana by Lord Ramachandra and the killing of Shishupal and Dantavakra in Dwarpa Yuga. Shishupal, of course, had merged into the existence of the Lord and thus achieved Sayuja Mukti. Narada Muni praised Yudhisthira Maharaj because the Supreme Lord Krishna was the greatest well-wisher and friend of the Pandavas and almost always stayed in their house. Thus, the fortune of the Pandavas was greater than that of Prahlad Maharaj. Later, Narada Muni described how the demon Maya Danava constructed Tripura for the demons who had become very powerful and defeated the demigods. Because of this defeat, Lord Rudra, Shiva, dismantled Tripura. Thus, it became known as Tripurari. For this, Rudra is very much appreciated and worshipped by the demigods. This narration occurs at the end of the chapter. So you're going to have to wait till the end of the chapter before you can hear the narration. Oh, someone knew. Shri Narada Vacha Bhakti Yoga Siddha Sarvam Antara Yantararbhaka Manyamano Rishikesham Smayamana Uvachaha. Shri Narada Uvacha. Narada Muni said, Bhakti Yogasya, of the principles of devotional service, tat, those blessings or benedictions offered by Lord Nrisimhadeva, sarvam, each and every one of them, antarayataya, because of being impediments on the path of bhakti yoga, arbaka, Prahlad Maharaj, although only a boy, manyamana, considering, Rishikesham, unto Lord Nrisimhadeva, Smayamana, smiling, Uvacha, said, Ha, in the past. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Saint Narada Muni continued, although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, when he heard the benedictions offered by Lord Nrisimhadeva, he considered them impediments on the path of devotional service. Thus he smiled very mildly and spoke as follows. Purport. Material achievements are not the ultimate goal of devotional service. The ultimate goal of devotional service is love of Godhead. Therefore, although Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, Yudhisthira Maharaj, and many other devotees, and many devotees, kings, were materially quite very opulent, they accepted their material opulence in the service of the Lord, not for their personal sense gratification. Of course, possessing material opulence is always fearful, because under the influence of material opulence, one may be misdirected from devotional service. Nonetheless, a pure devotee, anya vilasita shunyam, is never misdirected by material opulence. On the contrary, whatever he possesses, he engages 100% in the service to the Lord. When one is allured by material possessions, they are considered to be given by Maya. When one uses material possessions fully for service, they are considered God's gifts, or facilities offered by Krishna for enhancing one's devotional service. Shri Narada Vacha Bhakti Yogasya Tatsarvam Antaraya Tararbhaka Manyamano Rishikesham Smayamana Uvachaha. The Saint Narada Muni continued, although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, when he heard the benedictions offered by Lord Nrisimhadeva, he considered them impediments on the path of devotional service. Thus he smiled very mildly and spoke as follows. There was a question asked by the sages that why is it that Krishna, who lives in a palace and is the husband of the goddess of fortune, his devotees are always so poor? And while Lord Shiva, he lives underneath a tree, and he practically doesn't even have proper clothing on, and yet his followers are so opulent. So in order to answer that question, there was a story, I believe that story was Rikasura, how Rikasura had went to Narada Muni. Obviously he wasn't an ordinary Asura, because he could actually meet Narada Muni. And he asked him, I want these benedictions, who can I take them from? Brahma, Shiva, or Vishnu? So Lord Shiva, knowing the demon's mentality, said, I think you better take a benediction from Lord Shiva, because Vishnu probably won't give you the benediction. And Brahma, it's not so clear. He got warned already by Krishna not to give such benedictions out. So he might hesitate. But Lord Shiva, he's still in the mood of just giving benedictions out. Like a wealthy man gives out candy. So Virgatsora said, all right, now let me become qualified to get Shiva's benediction. So being a demon who never read the scripture, he was offered a book, but he wouldn't give a donation. So because he had no knowledge, therefore he went to the Himalayan mountains. And there he lit a fire and started to cut his flesh from his body and throw it into the fire, offering it as an oblation, hoping that Lord Shiva would be pleased by such offering. Om Shivaya Namaha. Oh. Om Shivaya Namaha. Oh. So he's doing that for some time, and Lord Shiva didn't appear. So he thought, well, it's not working. So he decided he'd offer his head into the fire. So he bathed himself, probably for the first time in his life. Figured, maybe if I take a bath, someone will come and see me. So he bathed himself, and he was all wet, because before you sacrifice an animal, in case you're interested, you have to bathe the animal first. He didn't know that. Okay, maybe that's why the sacrifices didn't work before. So he bathed himself and he took his hair, because he wasn't a brahmachari, he had plenty of hair, and he held it in his hand, and he took a big knife and he was going to cut off his head, because he was right over the fire, and the idea was his head would just fall into the fire. That's not the end of the story. So he's just about to do that, and Lord Shiva thought, well, this guy's crazy, I better help him. So he appeared from the fire, and he touched Virgatsora, and all his wounds healed. And he said, well, what are you doing? He said, well, he didn't appear, as I didn't know if it was working, my sacrifice, because as Prabhupada writes in the purport, the demons, they have to have some physical appearance, otherwise they don't think it works. If we offer food and we don't see Krishna personally eating it, we're doubtful. Did Krishna really eat it? Devotees, though, they know better because they can taste it. The proof of the prasadam is in the tasting. So Lord Shiva said, well, what can I do for you? He said, I just want a little benediction. So Lord Shiva was a little doubtful, knowing the mentality of Virgatsora, but he already had promised him a benediction. He said, okay, what is it? He said, well, whosoever head I touch will crack into thousands of pieces. So be it. And then Virgatsora went to touch Lord Shiva's head. Prabhupada said the idea was he's going to touch Shiva's head and then steal Parvati. Which is, I mean, he must have been quite an extraordinary demon, because steal the material energy is not so easy. In any case, Lord Shiva started to tremble and then he fled, and Virgatsora chased him all over the universe. Brahma's place, Indra's place, everywhere he went. Finally, Lord Shiva took shelter in the Shweta Dweep, where Lord Vishnu resides. So he ran past Lord Vishnu, who was dressed as a brahmachari, with rudraksha beads and matted head, matted hair, and a deer skin. And Virgatsora followed after him. So Lord Vishnu, in the form of a brahmachari, said, O son of begins with a V, Riksina or something. He called out his father's name, so he thought he must be a friend of the family, he knows my father. So he said, yes, my dad's all right, no, don't worry about it. He said, Riksini, something. So he said, what can I do for you? Why are you running so fast? If you run so fast, you're going to wear your body out. And if you wear your body out, then how can you fulfill the desires of your mind? So Virgatsora thought, wow, this really is a good friend. He's giving me some physical therapy, you know. He must be a physical therapist or something. Probably got his degree in physical education. He said, yes, It's a fact. Maybe I should slow up. So maybe if you reveal to me why you're running so fast, I can help you. So he said, well, I did all this austerity. Lord Shiva came, and he gave me this benediction, whose every head I touched will crack into thousands of pieces, and I wanted to do that so I could steal his wife. So Lord Vishnu said, well, do you really believe that Lord Shiva really has the power to give out such a benediction? I heard personally he got into a quarrel with his father-in-law during a sacrifice. And ever since that, he was been cursed, and now he got cursed, and he became ghostly haunted. Now he's running around the universe giving out false benedictions. So, I think this Lord Shiva's, should be punished for giving out false benedictions. So you should try out the benediction, and if it doesn't work, then you should go and find this rascal Lord Shiva and chastise him. So the demon was completely bewildered by Krishna's illusory energy. He said, hey, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I'll try it out. If it doesn't work, then I'm going to kill this rascal Lord Shiva. So he touched his head, and of course it cracked into thousands of pieces, and he got fooled. So such is offering benedictions from Lord Shiva. They're not necessarily for the benefit of the devotee. So Lord Vishnu, he'll hesitate before he gives out benedictions, which will be impediments for the welfare of his devotees. But for the non-devotees who worship Lord Shiva, he freely gives out the benedictions, and they're not necessarily for their own benefit. So in the material world, everyone goes and approaches someone to get a benediction. Nowadays, of course, as we have in our offenses against the holy name, that to consider Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. Of course, nowadays, we don't think like that because we don't believe in Shiva and Brahma. We don't believe in demigods. So we don't even believe in Vishnu probably. So for us, yeah, anyhow, illusory Vishnu is better than illusory Brahma and illusory Shiva. No problem. No problem with that offense. Whoever, did the most exercise today, we take him as supreme or something. So anyhow, people don't believe, but they believe in someone to get benedictions from. They have a boss, or they have some personality, the head of state, or a movie star, or a athlete, who they think is the supreme. And they try to take benedictions from them in some way or another. Either they go to the bank and they pray for a loan. People don't go to the church anymore and pray because they can get what they want from the bank. So why pray to God for money when you can get it freely? They can give you a credit card and you get more money that way. Just spend. So because of the atheistic philosophy, which has been more or less propagated, people don't know who the Supreme is. Nor do they care. Because they choose their own Supreme. And they think that has become the Supreme. And they try to get little benedictions. They pray to the government and they get a welfare check. Because their prayer means they fill out the form and they get a welfare check, whatever it is. Or they go and watch a movie, they watch Bruce Lee movie, and they see 100 of them, and they think they become a karate expert. They've gotten benedictions. They study the movies carefully, they watch it 15 times, the same movie. Yeah, that's it. That way people are trying to get benedictions and find their mentors, their heroes, their mahajans, and take their benedictions, their association, and become expert in enjoying the material energy. But Prahlad Maharaj here, he doesn't want any of that because it has nothing to do with our real selves. Namely, we're spiritual beings, and trying to take material benedictions is just like trying to take care of your car feed it nicely, put all the gasoline, have the insurance, everything else, have a perfect vehicle, but not take care of the driver or the passenger. So in such a state, you may reach car perfection. And as I said before, you may believe, ahamkara, that I am this body, I am this car, but it won't do you very much good, because it has nothing to do with ourselves. It's like putting money into a bank account for your whole life, so you can retire at the end of life, but you got one number wrong in the bank account. And therefore you're putting all the money every week that you earn into a bank account, but it's the wrong account. So at the end of life, you go to withdraw all the money for your retirement, and you find out you have nothing in the bank account because you put it into the wrong account. So suddenly everyone's working hard in order to make themselves happy and their family happy and their friends happy, but because they're putting their effort into the wrong account, therefore at the end they wind up with zero. Shrama evahi kevalam. That's simply due to lack of knowledge. They don't know. They don't know that Krishna is the Absolute and that He's the one who's giving everyone benediction, and therefore they try for, instead of watering the root, they're just watering one leaf or two on a huge banyan tree, and they're getting nothing out in return. Therefore, this little bit of knowledge that Krishna is God and that we're His eternal servants, that's the perfection of knowledge. And if people understand that, and that everything except for service of Krishna will ultimately be a waste of time for us. We have to water the root, Krishna, and then we are, as one of the many branches and leaves on the tree, will actually get benedicted. Otherwise, everything else is just beneficial for ourselves or anyone else, however much we may believe it is. I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Who has the first question? Yes.
Hare Krishna. There was this story in Chaitanya Charitamrita, I think. I don't know exactly if you can help, where this one person was asking for benedictions, I think from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like only service or only remembering Krishna.
There's at least 100 devotees in Chaitanya Charitamrita who are asking for that benediction. Well, what's the point? There are many who ask for that benediction. We should ask for that benediction too. Then maybe we'll get into Chaitanya Charitamrita in the next edition.
I had some glimpse and I couldn't remember properly.
Well, some glimpse of that is good. Even a glimpse is better than nothing. Anything else?
In the summary, it is said that, what does it mean that we will, if one is seriously practicing devotional service, so many generations of his are liberated. What does it mean? I mean, it's like they will probably have to go through the whole process.
Of course, everyone has to go through the process. What liberation means different things for different people. When school's out in the summer, for the summer, you're liberated. So it's a kind of liberation. On the weekend, you're liberated. You're not working. So there's a kind of... But as far as the kind of liberation, well, we know that, for instance, in Prahlad Maharaj's descendants, there was Bali Maharaj. So he was not exactly what we call a liberated soul at the beginning. He was a demon. I'm not Bali Maharaj. Yeah, Bali Maharaj also, and also Banasura. Well, he had 1,000 arms. He became liberated eventually because Krishna cut off all his arms. Well, he didn't, and he gave him some benedictions. Lord Shiva gave him benedictions. But what kind of liberation? Depends. on who it is. It's never really the history. We have Bali Maharaj as a history. We have Banasura as a history. But we don't exactly know what happened to all the other descendants of Prahlad Maharaj, the 21 generations. But as far as achieving Krishna Prema, that's beyond liberation. That's Prema Paramartha Mahan. So liberation is good, liberation from the material concept of life, but exactly to what stage of liberation is not mentioned here. Anything else? Looks like Ananda almost has a question. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.